So, have you decided on your brokerage firm yet? Get some good referrals. Today, we're going to take a look at buying on margin. It's kind of a silly name. What you're essentially doing is borrowing from your broker, and it will allow you to magnify your gains and magnify your losses. So, let's get started. A cash account. This is a brokerage account in which all transactions are made on a strictly cash basis. Cash accounts are the simplest arrangements, requiring no credit check of the customer by the brokerage firm. Everything is via cash, right? You send in the money and then you can buy the stocks. Once you have established a good relationship, most brokerage firms will allow you to purchase shares of stock even if you don't have the cash in the account. Wait a minute, how can that happen? Well, this is because, if you remember, stock transactions settle in 2 business days. You have 2 business days to get the money into the account. Now, the deep discount brokers, I was sure Scottrade didn't do this. I don't know about the others because I don't deal with them, but you can ask them. They don't allow this. They don't have, you don't have a personal broker. You just get the money in there and then you can do the trade. And conversely, when you sell a stock, you have to wait 2 days to receive the money. But most brokerage firms, once you've created a, working relationship with them, they will say, okay, we trust this person. At least we do that. And we'll get them the cash today if they need it. You understand? Cash account. But there's another type of account that you can set up called a margin account. Now, I don't really like this name, margin account. It's a little nebulous. But essentially, what you're doing is you're buying on credit. You are borrowing from your brokerage firm. This is a brokerage account in which, subject to certain limitations, securities, and we'll just discuss stocks, but other securities like bonds, can be bought and sold on credit. If you open a margin account, the brokerage firm is going to do a credit check to determine your credit worthiness, since you will essentially be borrowing money from them. And the interest rate you pay on money borrowed from your broker is called the margin rate. It's actually a very good interest rate. It's often prime rate plus 1 or 2%, or 2 or 3% above the current money market rates, depending on how much you borrow. But lately, I've been seeing advertisements for margin rates that are under 2%. Pretty amazing. I don't know. Maybe that's just a 6 month thing or something. But still, it's a pretty good rate. It's certainly better than a credit card, right? It's certainly better than borrowing from a credit card. The margin account allows you to perform margin trading, buying on margin, leveraged account. There's that word again, leverage, the use of borrowed funds to purchase securities. It magnifies your returns by reducing the amount of equity that the investor must put up. And the margin is the portion of the value of the investment that is not borrowed. Now, this is what bothers me. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't the margin be the one that you borrowed? No, it's the portion of the value of the investment that is not borrowed, and the amount of equity stated as a percentage in the investment. So, say you came up with 75% and borrowed the other 25%. 75% would be the margin, 25% borrowed. Now, in case you're starting to freak out, is he going to ask us all this? No. Whatever I ask you on the final exam about margin, about this chapter, margin, buying on margin and selling short, and options and futures, which we've already discussed, will be given to you beforehand. The questions will be given to you beforehand. So it's the end of the semester. Everyone's frazzled. You've already absorbed a tremendous amount of information. So this stuff, as we've said, is kind of like syphilis. We're not teaching it to you, so you'll go out and get it. This is not as bad, in my humble opinion, as options and futures, but it still has its problems, as we shall see. Why buy on margin? Well, buying on margin allows the investor to use financial leverage. This is the use of debt financing to magnify investment returns. Buying on margin also allows an investor to tap into the equity in their account without actually selling their investments and generating commissions and taxable transactions and, you know, selling the stock that you love and has been good to you for many years or whatever, a few years. You know, buying on margin is much like buying a house. When you purchase a house, you don't come up with the total amount. You put up 10 or 20% and then finance the rest. Well, stocks require at least 50%, and they may require more. But at the very least, the Federal Reserve Bank, which is in charge of this, believe it or not, says they must, you as an investor must come up with 50%. Your brokerage firm can make it higher. They can make you come up with more, but that's the minimum they have to, you have to come up with. What's the margin requirement? That's also called the initial margin. This is the minimum amount of equity that must be a margin investor's own funds set by the Federal Reserve Board, the Federal Reserve Bank. Currently, as I said, the margin requirement is 50%. You must put up at least 50% of your own funds. This allows you to purchase the same amount of stock with less money. The margin loan is the debit balance. It's the amount that you borrowed. So I know I'm going through this quickly. And if you were to take the Series 7, you have to know this stuff cold. You have to know it in the middle of the night. Somebody wakes you up and asks them what the margin requirement is, what the margin loan. But for our purposes, we're just going through it so that you understand it and know to stay far away. So here's a margin example, buying on margin example on slide 14. You put up $10 and you borrow $10 from your broker. So, okay, the initial margin is 50% and the margin loan is $10. You purchase one share of stock for $20 and the market price rises to $30. Whoopee! Congratulations! You made $10 on a $10 investment. This is half of what you had to come up with when you simply purchased the stock outright with your money. So if you had purchased the stock for $20 and it gone to $30, that's a 50% return. But because you borrowed half of the money, you borrowed $10, you made a 100% return on your investment. You see the power of leverage? It magnifies your gains. But let's just say something else happens. Slide 15. You put up $10, you borrow $10, you purchase one share of stock for $20, but this time the market price drops to $10. Oops. Big oops. Only half of the money was yours. You borrowed the rest. You lost your entire investment. Buying on margin magnifies your gains and your losses. Margin buying was one of the major contributing factors to the crash of 1929. At the time, the margin requirement was only 10%. Stocks can't go down, right? They only went in two directions, up and way up in the 1920s, with new technologies, motor cars, radio. For this reason, the above scenario is prohibited today, and our intrepid investor would have had a margin call long ago. And what's a margin call? We'll get into that. But it's basically saying, hey, goofball, you lost a lot of money. We're going to make you either sell your stock right away or come up with more cash. We're not going to let you lose everything. Because what happens if it goes below $10? Now you're tempted to just walk away. I already lost my whole investment. And who has to pay if you walk away? The brokerage firm. That's why they're going to do a credit check. Margin trading is inherently risky, inherently more risky. And because of this, margin accounts are highly scrutinized by brokerage firms. When you have a restricted account, this is a margin account whose equity is less than the initial margin requirement. You no longer may make any further margin purchases, and you must bring the margin back to the initial margin requirement, which is 50% for most people, when the securities are sold. information technology has made the brokerage's job of scrutinizing margin clients much easier. Now the computer spits out a list of clients that are restricted. Before, it was all done by the back office using these balance sheets, as we'll take a look. The maintenance margin is the absolute minimum amount of margin equity that an investor must maintain in the margin account at all times. It can be no less than 25%. That's according to the Federal Reserve Bank. And they can change that, but they haven't changed it in decades. Your brokerage firm can set it higher. They can set it at 35 or 40%. If you fall below this maintenance margin, you are going to get a margin call. And maybe you heard about that in The Big Short and other movies where people were getting margin calls, meaning you've lost a lot of money, come up with more cash or sell your stocks now. This is the notification of the need to bring the equity of an account whose margin is below the maintenance level up to the initial margin level, or to have enough margin holdings sold to reach this standard. If the investor does not meet the margin call in sufficient time, and this is typically 72 hours, the brokerage firm is authorized to sell enough of the securities to meet the margin call. So in other words, if you don't contact them, they contact you and say, hey, you got to come up with more cash. It might even be more less than 72 hours now because stocks, you know, are, they changed it to, from 3 days to 2 days for the settlement. So I should really check. I mean, no one's ever told me. I don't have any margin clients. I don't want any margin clients. I don't have a margin account. But if you don't contact them or you don't come up with the cash, you sign an agreement in that broker-client agreement when it said click here, right, that you agree to the terms, that they can sell it. They don't have to wait for you. And some of the, especially deep discounts, brokerage firms were doing that. They weren't waiting for you to even get back to them. This was happening in mass during the dot-com implosion, the dot-bomb in the early 2000s. People were getting a margin call, but before they even opened up the email account, before they even opened up the email message, their brokerage firm had already sold the shares. And there's a saying, never meet a margin call in the industry. And what does that mean? Don't throw good money after bad. You've made a mistake, your stock has fallen, and now you're in trouble. Sell it, get rid of it, you know, take your loss. But again, I don't do margining, so I don't know if I agree with that or not. But you could come up with more cash. They're always happy to take more cash from you. Of course, if your investments do very well, then you can use the excess margin you create in your margin account to purchase additional stock without having to come up with more money. And this is, as we said, called excess margin. It's more equity than is required. And the technique is called pyramiding. I don't like that term, do you? The technique of using excess margin from paper profits in margin accounts to partly or fully finance the acquisition of additional securities. What do you think of this strategy? Huh? Yeah, you're using the fact that your stocks, in this case, we'll just use stocks, have done well, and now you have more margin, more equity to utilize more margin trading. When things go bad, though, yes, you're going to get a margin call. Now, paying interest on the margin loan also adds yet another drag on your investment returns. You see, your margin investments must meet or exceed the margin interest rate in order for you to just to break even. Because, folks, you're borrowing money from the brokerage firm. They're not giving it to you for free. You have to pay interest, commissions, and interest. Now you know why your broker is always so happy to take your calls. And this is one of the things that Robinhood said. Oh, yeah, yeah. They were throwing smokescreen in front of their clients, in my humble opinion. They were saying, we're going to make money off of the margin accounts. We're going to charge people interest so they can lose more money fast. I mean, so they can magnify their returns. And, you know, I don't buy it. I think they make most of them. I don't know. You have to ask Robinhood. But I think they make most of their money off the order flow, the kickbacks that they receive from the high-frequency trading companies, the market makers, the dealers. So you see, margin trading, not only do you have to pay those commissions and whatever, even if you're not paying commissions, you're still paying commissions. You understand that with $0 trades. You also have to be above your interest rate just to break even. Now, so question, why would I buy on margin? And my easy answer is you shouldn't. Again, I'm more risk averse in that respect. Stocks are risky enough, dear students. The risks are not worth the potential reward, in my humble opinion. However, there is a valid logical reason for having a margin account. Let's say you've been doing this for several years and you have a substantial portfolio. The margin account allows you to temporarily borrow against your investments without having to sell them. You don't incur any commission costs. Well, maybe you don't have any commission free or whatever, but you also don't trigger capital gains taxes, but you do have to pay interest. And let's say you really do want to hang on to these stocks. You know, these stocks are good stocks. I don't want to sell them. You can borrow from your stocks, much as the people borrow, people use their house for a home equity line of credit. So that's a valid reason. But, you know, in an ideal world, you wouldn't pay interest on anything, you know, except for your mortgage, and then you're going to pay that off over your lifetime, right? Right, right? Although you'll hear people say, oh, Piano is a goofball. You should never pay off your mortgage. There's two schools of thought. I'm right, of course. So in my humble opinion, I'm not a big fan of margin trading, and I tell you this up front so you know my biases, and we also tell you this because you have to understand it, if only to say, no, thank you, I make love, not loans, which is what we learn in Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management. Now, let's take a look at an example. We have a stock selling for $50. You put up $20 and borrow, I'm sorry, you put up $30 and borrow $20. Your initial margin is 60% because you, that's the formula right there. You take the value of the stock minus the amount you borrowed divided by the value of the stock, and now you have 60% margin. If the stock price rises to $80, you now have 70% margin. If the stock price falls, though, to $25, you now have a margin call because you would take the $25 minus the $20 divided by the $25. Now, of course, the computer does all this for you. You would have to be able to do these calculations on the Series 7. They'll give you the formula. Don't worry. You don't have to memorize the formula. But nobody actually does these. The computer spits them out and says, hey, your client is in trouble. They have a margin call. So the account balance sheet. Traditionally with margin accounts, the brokerage firms would use an account balance sheet. So your accounting students will recognize this immediately to keep track of the account. But it's all computerized now. And you'll recognize assets equals liabilities plus equity, right? The balance sheet also makes it easier to calculate the margin. You take margin is equal to the account equity divided by the total assets. But you're not going to have to do these on the exam. I reiterate, you will have to do these if you take the Series 7, but I don't know. Maybe they've changed it. I don't know. They might have changed it, but I had to do it, and that was a long time ago. What? I don't know. Well, in the other century, in the other millennium. So here's the 1998. The account balance sheet. You purchase 800 shares at $50. You put up $20,000 and borrowed the rest, $20,000. Because 80 shares times $50, I'm sorry, 800 shares. Ooh, let's start over again. You purchase 800 shares at $50. That's $40,000. 800 shares times 50 is 40,000. You put up 20 grand, but you borrowed the rest from your brokerage firm. So 50% margin. And so the margin loan is 50,000, the account equity is 20,000, because our total assets are 40,000. But remember, assets equals equity plus liabilities, and we have a $20,000 loan. The account is now worth 20,000 because, I mean, it's worth 40,000, but we owe $20,000 on it. I hope I'm not losing you on this. But remember, you don't have to do the calculations, so don't worry about it. But now, what if your shares fall to $35? Uh-oh, the company was caught artificially inflating earnings. Well, now your assets have fallen to 28,000. 800 shares times the current market price of $35 a share is only 28,000. And that means your margin is now 28.6. You still owe the $20,000, but the equity in your account is down to 8,000, and your brokerage maintenance margin is 30%, you're going to get a margin call, which means you got to either got to come up with more cash or you have to sell these shares. And if you sell these shares, you're taking a big loss. You've lost $12,000. Whereas if you had purchased the shares with the 40,000 bucks, you wouldn't have lost that much. The loan magnifies your gains and magnifies your losses. So have I scared you? On the website in Canvas is a worksheet which has problems that are very similar to what we just did and very similar to what used to be on the Series 7. Now, are they still there? I really don't know. I really should find out. My apologies. I tried taking the securities industry essential exam, and there was 75 questions, and I was up to questions 56. You know, I was taking this exam, and then the darn thing crashed on me, and I haven't taken it again. But there weren't any questions like this. There were questions about margining, about buying on margin, but there were no questions where they showed you an account balance sheet and you had to figure out what's going on. So I don't know if they're still there. I should really research that. But if you do research it, looking at some of the materials that are Series 7 approved, and you find it, please contact me, okay? Because I got a lot to do. I'll put it on you. But I want to reiterate that this material, these calculations are not going to be on the exam. You're not going to have to do them. The worksheet, there's an answer key, commentary, play with it. Realize that these are the kind of questions you're going to see on the Series 7 exam, I assume. And they're tricky. They're a little tricky, but you do them enough times, you'll be fine. And the questions that are going to be on the final exam about buying on margin will be given to you. So relax. Because when we come back, dear students, oh boy, we're going to discuss something that can help you lose money even faster than buying on margin. And that is selling short, shorting stocks. Cool? Okay. See you in our final presentation for the chapter 2 on buying and selling securities.